This is 91.1 WEDM, and you are listening to Inside the Huddle.
Welcome to this episode of Inside the Huddle. I'm Colin Echols, and with me is
Jameson.
Day-Day.
T. Getty.
All right, so continuation off of last week, college basketball part two. We left off with who we thought was going to win the NCAA tournament.
Duke.
I said Kansas.
Duke or Miami?
Miami.
Yeah, I said that because of Nike Ben, you know, the person who won state a year ago, I believe.
Sabandy?
No, 2 years ago.
You think Nike Sabandy can leave? What the f-
Yes, what? I can.
You're a tweak. He's not even better than Kevin Porter out of USC. You don't want to talk basketball, but let's get it.
All right. So, been a few games that's gone on.
Right.
Jameson, you said last week that Bull Bull was the best center in the league.
And I stand on that. And
explain to me why, because there's some stats that came out for Bull Bull from this past week.
Well, you tell me why isn't he? How about that?
I didn't disagree with you.
I'm just saying it's not.
Kevin disagreed with you last week.
He can't dominate.
Why can he?
He can stretch the floor. I give him that. He can shoot.
Okay.
Under the ball, he can move the floor, but he's not strong. So he's dominantly at the center position, he's not a center. I'll put him in my power forward.
Who are you putting over Bobo?
Nobody. He doesn't watch enough college basketball. He's trying to sit here and tell me that Bobo is not the best center in college basketball. But then he said he can shoot, he can move the ball, he can stretch the floor, and we're talking
he's not physically dominant.
We're talking
That's the point as a center.
We're talking about a 7'2" center, and you got to think he's 18. Of course he'll be little. Do you not see people in college basketball and they always go in the NBA and they get better overall? Look at LeBron. Look at rookie LeBron, and look at LeBron now. He's
straight from high
huge.
School. Can't compare that.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
He's five games into college,
and he's gonna go one and done. Probably.
He's five games into college.
Okay. You're looking at a 1 year difference.
It's a 1 year difference. Look at Anthony Davis when he came in.
Skinny. I give you that.
Okay, I can name a lot of. It's only so many centers you can name that came in big. Besides that, I mean,
you didn't have that many people. I give you a point.
Continue.
So do we all stand now that Bull Bull is the best in the
he's
league?
The greatest center.
The best, but he's
the greatest center in college basketball.
He's great. I go with that.
All right, moving on. Let's go back to Duke for a little bit.
No, hold up. Let's skip Duke. Let's talk about Virginia and Washington. Kyle Guy. Almost 20 points in the first half of the game, which I don't know if you guys watch a lot of college basketball. It doesn't go by quarters. It goes by halves. It's two halves. So in about 20 minutes, he puts up, I don't know if he played the entire first half, but in 20 minutes, he put up almost 20 points. Then he had a great second half of the game as well, which, you know, he's from Indiana. I give him that. I like Guy. Finished off the game with 20 exactly, but he has 6 rebounds, 4 assists. And Jerome, another guard that they have, also had 20 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. So Virginia's looking pretty nice, but I hope they finish better than they did last year. You know, they got put out by a 16th seed. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's bad.
Tough.
How do you guys feel about Romeo Langford, though, after seeing him play for a couple times? Because I remember last week we said that we needed to see a few more games out of him before we could really decide if he was worth the hype.
I mean, I want to see this man on ESPN.
He'll be
like the little, you know, Snapchat. You know how they be having the story.
I'm waiting on him to play real competition. I've seen him play. He's in IU, but he's played like all right, okay teams. I'm waiting on him to play somebody.
Something that's more of a challenge to where he can really show his
skill. I need a matchup challenge.
Yeah.
I would like to say, though, that personally right now, I feel like Romeo Langford is...
Please don't say nothing wild.
Not worth the hype.
And why is that?
Because I'm not saying him, like, individually is worth the hype, but the game that he brought to IU without bringing anyone else with him.
You got
to
think it's IU, and he committed on like...
That's what I'm saying. Had he committed earlier and brought more people...
He wouldn't bring nobody to IU.
People would come with him, though, to play with him.
Nobody wants to play for IU.
But people want to play with Romeo Langford. That's what I'm saying.
Not if he's at IU.
They'll still come to play with him.
Yeah, I agree with Jameson on this one.
Look at Vanderbilt.
Well, okay.
Romeo, in my eyes, if I was Romeo Langford, I would have went to Vanderbilt. He could have played with
I would have went to Kansas.
Yeah, definitely Kansas.
I would have went to Vanderbilt, and here's why. He would have played with the second best point guard and his in his class last year, Darius Garland, who now averages 25 points and six so-ish assists. And then they pulled in another cat last year from their class again who was also a bucket. So if you're putting three buckets, I mean, yeah, Kansas sounds nice, but it's, of course everybody wants to go Kansas because it's Kansas. But then look how Kansas just got done by Duke. And then when Kentucky plays Kansas, they're going to do them crazy. And then when Virginia does Kansas, they're going to do them crazy. I'm not going Kansas. It sounds nice because, yeah, their history, but it's no, I'm not going Kansas. I would have went Vanderbilt.
I'll give you props for that decision. You do make a point, though. I think had Romeo gone somewhere that had people, not saying IU doesn't have people. But
they don't. No, let's say
they
that.
Don't.
I'm saying that IU does have
all right, I was trying to be impartial for a minute.
Someone like Butler.
Huh?
Not now, but I'm saying like back then in history when we had good people. Not now.
Keep going.
You said he should have gone to Butler.
Like no. if they had people there, they don't have people there
well,
now.
If he wasn't going one and done this year, he'd have John Michael Malloy.
You know,
from Carmel.
You know who I think is the bust, honestly, is Nazir Little. People had him ranked over Zion. I don't see it. He goes to UNC, fourth best in his class last year. He doesn't even start. He averages about 25-ish minutes. In all the games I've seen him play, he had 8, 8, and 10, with 0 out of 3 from the three, and 3 of 11 from shooting. Period. That's horrible. That sounds like a bust.
Yeah, no, I think that I agree with you. I think that Zion should have been ranked a lot higher than he was. I mean, What did he come out to be?
Three.
I honestly think he should have been
three.
No, I think he should have been at least 2.
Three.
Is it R.J. Bennett, number one?
Barrett, yes, he's 1.
Makes sense.
No, yeah, but, I mean, hey, that's just me.
Do you guys think he should be ranked number one?
Who?
R.J.?
R.J.?
Yeah. Yes, he's
R.J. Nice. Should be ranked number one, yeah.
Who do you think deserves the number 2 spot right behind him?
Zion.
Bobo, I'm going Bobo.
I don't know about Bobo.
What is your reason for being at Zion? Like, give me 3 like, solid reasons. That's
okay. First off, extra explosive on the transition.
All right,
doesn't matter. Extra transition explosive.
Games. Okay,
there. His defense is not that bad. He's got
so.
Yeah, it's so. It's not great, but it's so. He gets some nice blocks, and when he creates assists and he creates a play. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a good play and it's going to work and they're going to put points on
it. I don't feel like if I'm an NBA team, I will get Zion for the thrill that he brings to a team, but I will not. It depends on what team I am. So right now.
Yeah, well, the player has to fit
number 2.
Right now, the player has to fit the playing style of the team.
Of course. Like right now, he is projected to go to either Cleveland or Arizona.
If he could do great at Cleveland.
He'll do. I don't feel like he will meet the requirements or the standards that we have for him right now at the next level. Just because he's 6'6", I know we have positionless basketball, but then he's 270, and he's dominating in the speed of college basketball, but NBA is twice as fast and it's longer. You have to play
12-minute quarters. Then you got people that are way faster than him.
Stronger, taller.
And you're playing. You got LeBron. LeBron, playing, what, 2?
It's probably like 2.40.
And he runs how fast? Like going down the court 25? They said
no, but you gotta think about it though too. LeBron is a veteran. He's like,
yeah, but I want.
He's got
say,
more experience. I think the experience is gonna come with it though.
I'm not even gonna say. I don't like the LeBron comparison because LeBron's
his own animal.
Zion would never be LeBron.
No, well, think about it. No one's ever gonna be LeBron.
No, but I'm saying even to the level, I don't. What did you say?
Ben Simmons, definitely.
That's what you see?
Yes, that's what I see.
No.
Ben Simmons. I see a
LeBron. Back to the conversation we was just having.
we can go there.
No.
I can give the facts.
I don't think Zion, I'm going to get a lot of hate when I say this. I don't think Zion is better than Kevin Porter Jr. out of USC. I feel like Kevin Porter would be a better overall basketball player at the next level than Zion.
I can somewhat agree with you on that.
I can vouch for you with that one, but I want to see him play a little bit more before I want to, like, take that opinion. Like, I want to, like,
we can do
back
that.
You
I
up
mean,
on that opinion.
I mean, Kevin Porter plays for USC. I don't know if you know. They played Vanderbilt, and I forget the other team. The first game, he came off the bench, but I think he was just coming off injury. Previous summer, Hutter will go back. Previous summer, he played in the Drew League, carried his Drew League team all the way to the, I forget how their system goes, but they went pretty far deep in the playoffs. He's known for, he dropped around 3 or 4 50-point games in the Drew League, which if the people don't know what the Drew League is, it's a very intense.
It's like EYBL, and
it's
AAU on a whole other level.
It's not even
basically.
It's actually not even AAU because.
Well, I know it's not AAU, but
Harden and Paul and Wall and.
I'm just saying
NBA.
it's like an AAU on steroids.
Just
basically
think of AAU with NBA All Stars. So it's like that, but anybody is you got to be good to be in.
So AAU. Like a basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Basically, shout out to Frank Nitti, but he went deep. And then he came, went to USC. He played fairly good. I think he had around 15 points, but he didn't miss a shot. And he came off the bench. I mean, he's the way they're starting him off right now, he's starting off pretty slow. And obviously, we see how Zion is playing, you know, 28 points.
But we're still in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it's
things
still,
can change.
Yeah.
Things now, can change.
I want to put one last comment for me. This is the last I'm going to say about Zion. You said that you aren't going to like him at the next level.
No.
Right?
No.
I don't feel so
you,
like
wait,
he's
wait,
gonna
wait. Hang
like,
on, hang on, hang on. You are going to like him or you aren't going to like him?
I'm not. I don't
not
going to
like him?
I don't think he will right. succeed to so, the standard that we have for him right
I
now
think
at the
that,
next level. I think he will succeed, but not to the level that we have for him right now.
So would you like him to stay another year?
Huh?
Would you like him to stay another year?
No, it's pointless to stay another year. Why
no,
stay another
he
year?
He could get better.
That brings me to my point.
You won't
is
get better, but keep going.
If a player is not going to perform to the standards in the at the next level that people think he's supposed to, I think that staying all 4 years for Zion
is
would
horrible.
Not. Why?
Because
why would you
when
not,
you go into
horrible.
The when you go into
hold
the
up,
NBA, hi. You can get the help. Like
I will explain to you,
but
right
you
now.
Can get that in college first when you
exactly.
come to the
hold
NBA.
Up. Why would he stay all 4 years? One, if he's dominating at the level he's at right now, his freshman year.
So you can why? Continue to dominate, get better, and that way when you get to the NBA, you can play to the standard that everyone wants you to play at.
If I'm dominating right now, why would I stay another 3 years to keep beating y'all? That makes no sense. That's
first off, you put 3 more rings
that's
on your
added score.
Okay,
skills.
Who cares about NCAA rings when you can go and perform at the next level and potentially for the greatest?
But, like, I'm saying if he's not going to perform to the standards that people want him to,
but
why would you go to the league when you can stay in college for 3 more years? Just wait. Stay in college for 3 more years. Get the training that you need so the time when you get into the draft for the NBA, you can come out, get a higher overall pick, and then go into the league and actually perform like people
it
want you to.
It won't help him. It won't. He's projected right now to go number 2. Top 1, maybe 2, depending on the team who has the first round pick.
Which is going to be the Cavs. But
so there is no point in him staying another year when you're already dominant your first year. That's like, let's say.
Donovan Mitchell.
I'm going to say, hold up. I'm going to say this like this. So let's say I'm a first in my class in a high school basketball athlete, right?
Okay.
First in my class. That's like me going and dominating. Let's say my senior year, I average 30 points and 10 assists, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like me going and then reclassing myself to be a junior or a senior. What is the point?
Well, that's
so
just no
win,
point is.
So I can win more high school basketball rings?
That's not, no, but that's
exactly what you're saying.
But that's no. That's not what I'm saying. That's no. Why would
that's
you?
Exactly
that's
different.
This
how's that different? Why? Why would I skip out on the opportunity to go to the NBA and get paid?
Because you're not at the level.
To get he's not at the level, of course. But he also is a freshman, and just because he stays for another 3 years, he might get better as a player. But he still might not perform to the level that we have set for him.
But Donovan Mitchell did.
Yeah, but people wasn't.
Grayson Allen did.
He didn't even come showing out until the middle of the season.
We didn't.
Am I wrong?
People didn't. No, you're not wrong.
People did not think of Donovan Mitchell when
and he was in what the NBA, right? When he got when he was starting to show out, he was in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't in college. He was in the NBA.
He wasn't clowning in college. I'm
just saying that if Zion were to stay in college, A, he'd get to be a better player overall, more around player.
That's horrible.
And then but
when you go to the NBA,
you not want
to
be around
a player?
You get better. Look,
dude, half of these colleges are getting the same stuff that the NBA is. Duke is getting the same stuff that
the
NBA is.
You don't get paid and you don't play the same competition.
It doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter.
Everybody switched throughout the year.
Think about it. If I go to the NBA, I will be playing against some of the greatest basketball athletes in the world. That's the highest competition.
I'm aware of that.
So why will I stay in the kid? Why would I stay in college when I could play the best of the best?
Because you're not ready to go to the NBA yet. I'm just saying
he's ready to
dominate.
I'm not saying he's not ready to go. I'm saying he won't perform to the level that we set for him.
I'm saying that he's not ready to go. I don't think he's ready to go. I don't think he's a round enough player.
Not at all.
But him staying won't make him a better player either.
If you stay, but look, this is what I'm saying. Why would you go to the NBA and try to become a round player during a season and potentially mess up your NBA stats, career, whatever?
Like Markel.
And fall off.
Okay.
Versus you could stay in college, become a better rounded off player, keep the hype that you have behind you, and then once you get to the NBA, you stay at the top.
I got something for you. Why would I stay? I'm going to say from Zion's perspective. Why would I stay in college basketball and risk the opportunity to get injured, and then my draft stock drops, and then I'm not even looked at for the NBA when I could have went to the NBA, and let's say I got hurt in the NBA, at least I got paid. At least I got paid.
You bring a point with that, but I'm not talking about from an injury perspective. Throw all that aside. I'm just talking about from an overall performance perspective.
From a performance perspective, you won't be a better player. Still.
I still don't think he's ready for the NBA.
So you're in college. You're in college dominating, right?
Yeah.
How are you getting better if you're dominating?
Exactly.
There's nobody stopping you. You're dominating the whole court.
But
there's nobody stopping
you.
But you're learning to help your team.
You're learning to help your team.
You're learning to help your team in the NBA.
When you go into the NBA and you don't know what
you're not used to that level of competition.
Your stuff is going to get blocked. You're going to get stolen. You ain't making nothing.
Stop. Look, I'm not saying that he's not going to get better because he's already dominated. I get it. He's already dominating. But if you're dominating at that level, why not try to come out and get better at all your other skills so you dominate even more?
That's what going to the NBA will do.
But why? No, but he's not ready for it. He's not ready for the NBA. I'm saying his overall skills are not ready for the NBA.
Like we said earlier, he's five games into the season, and he averages the most points amongst freshmen and the most rebounds. And that's across centers, everybody in his position. He's 6'6", 270.
6'7".
6'7", an extra inch. Anyway, he's 6'7". He doesn't play the center. He doesn't play the power forward. Yet he has more points and more rebounds than all the centers but one.
And who's that one?
It's Bol Bol, of course. I keep telling y'all this. But one. So on the college level, it seems like he's already better than his competition. It's like one or two people above him. So why will he stay in college basketball where he's already the top dog? Why would he stay when he can go and beat better people? That's like when you grow up and you hoop, people say you played older people to get better.
Uh-huh.
Why would he stay and be one of the oldest guys in college when he can go and face LeBron and Kyrie and KD and Giannis every other night?
They're going to be there. They're still going to be there when he gets drafted.
In a year, we're thinking 4 years down the line, it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be Ben Simmons dominating. It's going to be Donovan Mitchell. You're not facing it's a different level of competition. You get greater.
I'm just saying if he stays in college.
And that's three more one-and-dones coming in.
But it's going to take him like
two
seasons.
Injury is going is going to play a part.
I'm just saying, no, don't even include injury in it.
How can't you?
No, I'm not saying you can't include injury to it. I'm just talking about if you exclude injury, period, if he were to stay in college basketball for three more years.
It would be stupid on his part.
No, it wouldn't, because you get to come out in college
and play weaker opponents. Let's say it all. You get to come out in college and play weaker opponents.
Are they weaker opponents? RJ Barrett is 10 times better than some of the NBA players.
I wouldn't say that, but he won't come out and this is what I'm saying. RJ Barrett is on his team.
Yeah.
The only better player than him is on his team. And you gotta think, he goes to Duke. Duke don't play that 4 year stuff. You gonna go right to the bench.
Grayson Allen?
Grayson Allen was 5.
All right. That's Grayson Allen.
I'm just saying
he's good for 2 seasons.
Exactly. Out of all 5,
2.
You had 5 years to get it right, and you had 2 good seasons. And as soon as his best season came, what did he do? He dipped out.
No, his best season came his 4th year, and he stayed an extra year.
And then what happened to him?
He got drafted,
but he got overshadowed by Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley went 2-1 and done. Who else did they have?
Who, Duke?
Yes, their point guard. He didn't even get drafted.
But now he plays for the Bucks.
Now he plays for the Bucks. He's 1 and done.
That doesn't matter. I'm still saying, and I'm going to stick with it, that if Zion Williams were to stay in college basketball for all 4 years, he'd be a better overall player when he gets to the NBA.
Because he's not.
And that's the last I'm going to say on it.
He's not big enough, like you said. He can't shoot. Not at all. His mid-range game is horrible. He's not going to be able to. He can have some transitions, but not all every single time.
He can shoot.
You can't survive in the NBA just doing one thing. You can't survive. Name one person.
Blake Griffin.
Ben Simmons.
Blake Griffin.
No, Ben Simmons can't shoot.
DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan.
Finishing in the paint, right?
All right. Zion can't finish in the paint. Zion can't get a rebound.
Not every time. He's not big enough. He's
Zion
have to get
can't
bigger.
Get an assist. What?
You can do that.
It's Zion. Chris 6, Paul. 7, nah, okay. Chris Paul had 10 70? Rebounds on the Pacers.
And they got who? Miles
Westbrook
Turner?
Averaged 10 rebounds a whole season. You can get a rebound as a point guard, as a guard. That is the dumbest point I've ever heard. I'm not even going to cap. Talking about some Zion should stay for 4 years. What?
No, I still think he should. But I still think he should. I don't think he's ready for the NBA.
That's just two seasons.
The NBA makes you a better player is what I'm saying.
But I'm saying get more versatile in college so when you get to the NBA,
Why would I get more versatile in college when I can get more versatile in the NBA?
So when you get to the NBA, you're already versatile enough.
When you get to the NBA, you're still going to have to improve because it's better competition.
It doesn't matter
what.
But your versatility is already up to the point where you don't have to improve as much as you would have to if you came out 1 and done.
College is made as a stepping stone. It's a bridge.
I know it is.
All right.
If
you stay on the bridge too long, you don't get nowhere.
I'm saying, why would you go 1 and done if you're Zion Williams, have to improve more in the offseason between when you get drafted and when your first game is played, or stay in college for a few extra years, be versatile enough to where you don't have to improve as much when you get drafted? That's the last thing I'm going to say on it.
This is probably his... This is all I'm going to say. This is probably the highest his draft stock will ever be. Ever. Why risk that opportunity? And injury is a thing. Why risk that opportunity to go to the league when if you stay another year and let's say you get hurt, your draft stock is crap.
After that, yes.
And you won't make it to the league. You won't even ride the bench for the G League if you can't play. Why risk that opportunity to go to the next level and be a top 3 pick for sure and sit another year and play kids I know I can beat? It makes no sense.
I still say because it's going to make it more versatile.
No.
That's the last
time
I'm saying
it. It's over.
Anyone
it's
else
over.
Got any points? Ty, Dede, anybody?
I'm still with Jameson on this one.
I'm in between.
That makes no sense. None at all. All
right. That does it for this episode of Inside the Huddle. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Jameson, for having that nice debate with me. Dede and Ty, thank you for also chiming in on that, too. Make sure you stay tuned in for a couple more interviews and talks about different sports here on 91.1 WEDM.
That
91.1 WEDM. This is Inside the Huddle Podcast. It's me, Isaiah, here with a few of my colleagues. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
I'm your colleague. Oh, thank you, well, Kevin Clary.
I'm Colin Nichols.
Jamison.
Yep, and today we're going to be talking about some Indiana high school football. Right now, it is the playoffs right now, and actually it's semi-state. We're going to be playing Center Grove tonight here at the Warren Central Warrior Stadium at 7. So make sure you guys come out and support that. But anyways, we're going to be talking about some of those teams that are left. It's only four of us left. It is us, Center Grove.
Us as in Warren Central.
Yeah, Warren Central. Valparaiso and Carmel on the other side of the bracket. So Valparaiso and Carmel will be facing off tonight at 7. So make sure you guys keep up with that game as well. And this is for, you know, this is for the rights to be in Lucas Oil playing for that state championship. So, you know, it's going to be a turned up game tonight. It's going to be a lot of energy, a lot of emotions flying, because for seniors on all four of those teams, you know, it's the last time they get to might play. That's the last time they might be able to play the game of football, or, you know, it's the last high school football memory. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of emotions tonight on both sides of those brackets. So, like, again, make sure you guys come out and support both of those teams and pay attention to both of those. So we're going to talk about some...
Boy, breathe.
We're going to talk about some football that happened last week with those four teams. Last week, the Warren Central Warriors went against the North Central Panthers in a very close, close game. We were able to pull away from those Panthers in about the third, fourth quarter. And it was just some, like, kind of mental mistakes. It was really mental mistakes and just our offense trying to adjust to that cold weather. It was very cold. I think the high last week was, like, 26 or something. Did you guys, were you guys able to see that game? Were you there?
Yeah, everybody.
We were all there. All three of us was there. Yes. No, it was cold, even up in the
I saw
the
you there. Box. We shook up.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it was cold.
Yeah, it was emotions flying on that field, bro. North Central, they came in talking a lot of trash.
I can't even lie. It looked a little scary. Once they scored first, it looked a little scary. I really thought y'all was loose.
I ain't going to say it looks.
In all honesty, we all have to agree. North Central came to play.
Yeah, North Central.
North Central's nice though. It's not like they're trash.
Indiana this year. Period.
They're just gonna take you out.
Liam Thompson. He's legit.
He's a monster.
He's legit.
I don't know who that is.
He's a demon on the field. Number two
quarterback.
The quarterback plays baseball.
Oh, I'm not.
Trayvon Elliott.
I'm not a fan of him.
Now let me talk about him for a couple minutes. Trayvon Elliott dropped like three touchdown passes that could.
But he also had like some spectacular catches. He had tons of receiving yards. I mean, he was really tearing through the Warren Central secondary, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah, he was for a minute, I'm not going to lie. But
the whole game.
But unfortunately, he wasn't able to hold on to those passes that could have, you know, possibly gave them the upper hand in that game.
Now, if we're being honest, if he caught all of those passes and the field goal kicker didn't miss those two or three.
I would hate to say it, but we would be at home right now.
Can we talk about that OBJ tantrum that he threw on the sideline after he missed open those?
He sat in the net. I was like, is someone get him a glass of milk or something? Because he was depressed.
I actually watched the game on the MIC network after, you know, I got home that night. And I seen him just throw his helmet and go sit in the net. And I was like, what's this dude on? We got a whole game to finish. He was in there throwing a tantrum, throwing footballs. I was like, this is crazy.
That's what happens when you care.
He really had a they really almost put in the backup, I heard.
Yeah.
Because he missed two, and they weren't even, like, really bad misses, but he just was so his confidence was so destroyed that they contemplated on putting the backup in. But, I mean, after that, he didn't miss any, so.
Mm-mm.
He was.
Y'all really thought they was going to put in a second.
I mean, they could have, though. Nah. The way he was kicking, and he lost his confidence. Like, for a kicker, when your confidence goes down, you just feel like you can't do anything right.
So, looking like Mason Crosby.
Because that's all you do. If you can't do the one thing that you do.
That one job.
Then your confidence is going to plummet. I mean, there's no question about it.
But, yeah, we were able to pull away from those North Central Panthers later on in the third and fourth quarter. Thanks to, shout out to the real D-Ville and.
No.
Romeo Elliott and Jaden George.
It was really just Romeo. Honestly.
It really was just Romeo.
Yeah, Romeo.
I don't think D-Bell had his part in that.
D-Bell was set up because of Romeo.
No, I'm saying on defense, though. D-Bell has some key stops.
He was also getting torched by Trayvon Elliott.
I mean, yeah. But
you can't even. Offensively, though, it was mainly Romeo.
It was Romeo Elliott. I know our offensive line had a tough time.
Yeah, and I think that has to do with the many injuries that you guys have along.
Yeah, we had Zach and Dennis Prater.
And Justin Britt, he's been out since week one. So,
I mean,
the offensive line is
I think y'all. I think y'all be cool.
Yeah, we did.
This week, though.
We was doing kind of good through the season. I don't know what happened. We fell off. But North Central, like I said again, is a very, very good team. Really, honestly, if they would have caught those balls, like Kevin said, they would have probably, we would probably be at home watching them right now going against Center Grove. But luckily, the football guys looked out for us, and, you know, we were able to get that turnaround dub. So tonight, we'll be facing the Center Grove Trojan. Now, the film sessions on Center Grove has been so intense all week. Like, we've been...
Can you explain that coming from a football player?
Oh, like, what? We watch the White Knight, they call him the White Knight. He runs the ball like no one's else. Carson Steele? Like, he's... Bro, he has a target on his head this
week. That's corny.
I'm just saying, that's what they call him. Our scouting report.
Let me say something before you finish this.
That is extremely
I think
corny.
Carson Steele, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I think he's... I don't think he's as outstanding.
Shut up, Colin.
He's trying to call him overrated.
Shut up, Colin.
I don't think he's as outstanding
Isaiah.
As
ignore
he's
what
portrayed
he's saying.
To be. No, no, no. Don't ignore what I'm saying.
Ignore what he's saying. Would you be able to tackle Carson Steele one-on-one in an open field by yourself?
but if he's number
yeah,
one
I
in
could.
This, if he's number
could.
One,
honestly, but it's not going it's not going to be like a
Isaiah,
cakewalk.
You could tackle yes. Carson Steele in the open field.
If he's right number now, one when in the he state, why do you only have 68 yards against it?
Semi-state,
if he's number one in the state,
it was week one. I talked to Coach West. They didn't have most of their starters, and they were just making a new offense. So I'm not saying that he is the best running back in the state. He is one of the best, definitely top five.
Yes,
but you saying him overrated?
Yeah,
you saying him being overrated? It's just flat out ignorance because.
Have you watched any of their other games?
No, and he's been tearing teams apart.
Yo, Avon though,
single handedly.
Avon,
tearing
he
teams
went
apart.
Off.
Couldn't do nothing against New Pal.
Avon.
Okay.
You just
Colin.
Be on.
Colin.
You love you some New Pal.
I'm
go
being
to
so
New
serious.
Pal. Go to New Pal.
I'm
be
being
a dragon.
So serious.
Be a dragon.
New Pal should
nah,
reclass.
You didn't have to take it there.
Be a dragon.
New Pal should reclass.
They really should. If you beating a team by like 77-0 on average,
bro,
why would you not move
up
to 6A 1 year?
We beat
I'm not feeling New
LC
Pal,
every year. They're not gonna reclass.
Not at all.
We beat LN every year. They're not gonna
reclass.
Except
but you can't say we beat them every year.
Reclass.
We lost them last year. LC,
yeah.
But
and then but before that, how many times did we?
I'm just saying, you cannot say Carson Steele is overrated based off one game against the number one team in the state,
but
also
then you play,
a top 20 team in the country.
But then you play New Pal, too. He couldn't do anything against New Pal, either.
New Pal. Another,
did you watch
number,
the New Pal game?
Another top 10 team in the state.
Did you watch the New Pal game?
Yeah, I watched the New Pal game.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Because although they lost, he ran for 200 yards. Look it up.
All right, I'll give you
Nick
that.
Colin, now.
But how do you guys feel like he's matched up against our running back, Ramir Elliott?
I'm
sorry.
They play two different play styles. Carson Steele is bully ball, run straight through you. He reminds me, he really tries to put you on your back. But Ramir Elliott, I mean, he uses his speed, agility, and power. He uses every asset of his running game.
When you see him, he don't look that fast.
Yeah, and he can really burn you. And Ramir tends to stay away from running up the middle due to the fact that he's a smaller back, and he loves those outside runs, those counters, those pitches, those handoffs to the back, to the right or the left. Carson Steele is straight up the gut almost every time.
And, they're a powerhouse running back
team. Yeah, and that spread offense really benefits Carson Steele, and that's why you see his stats are – truly out of this world.
Start the podcast. So like I said, who's your guys' favorite for tonight's matchup? Who you guys think?
I got Center Grove 45-0. I'm just playing.
Oh my God.
I got Warren Central winning 30. Actually, we'll do 41-15.
You think so?
I got Warren winning 49-21.
I got Warren 28-21.
28-21? Close game.
It's going to be a close game.
It's going to be close.
I think it's going to be similar to last week where it's close most of the way through and then right at the end.
Okay, we got your opinion.
Well, they can't really move the ball down the field without running the ball.
Yeah.
So
they got a passing game.
No, they don't.
They do a little bit. It's not that good.
It's not
about
North,
20%.
It's not
but,
North Central, but it's there.
Their wide receivers aren't that good.
They got blockers, bro. That's all they
do. Yeah, that's true, and their quarterback isn't terrible.
That's
but
why they played three
if
tight
you look
ends.
At their, if you look at their stats, I mean, go by the stats, their quarterback, he doesn't have that many yards.
What's his QPR? They don't bring up
QBR,
stats.
You mean? You said QPR.
You know what I mean.
QBR, whatever.
Anyway,
what's
going
his QBR?
We're going to
talk like about. It's like 86. It's actually like 86.
What's Jaden's?
Like 130.
Okay.
All right, and what's mine? All right, then.
What's y'all quizzes?
Oh, man. Oh, plays receiver now. But anyways, we're going to talk about the Carmel Greyhounds going against Valpo tonight on the other side of the bracket.
I got Valpo in 90.
I got Valpo.
I actually
you
have
said
Carmel.
What?
I got
you
Carmel.
Got Carmel?
Yeah, I got Carmel.
No, but I think the only reason Valpo is going to win is because Valpo at home, I mean, first off, Carmel's got to drive 2 hours up north to Valpo.
I got Valpo at 90.
Valpo is, they're a good school there. I mean, they play a good brand of football, but Carmel, they're a MIC team, and the MIC is probably the best conference in the Midwest. So I'm going to go with the MIC conference team.
In the Midwest?
Yeah.
See, I'll have to go. I really want to get this dub against Center Girls so we get Valpo in state. But
you want Valpo in state?
Yeah.
I feel like you want them because that's the better chance of you guys winning.
Yeah.
Why would you want that?
Take the Warren Central fan out of you. Who is going to win, Carmel or Valpo?
Valpo.
Carmel.
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 Valpo.
Carmel is the better team.
How is that?
Valpo's better at home. I'm telling you, Valpo at home is a whole different team than Valpo on
but
the road.
But you never
so,
know.
First off,
so
every
went,
team.
You went to one of the Valpo
off, every
games?
Every team that played. Huh?
You went to one of the Valpo games?
No, but
then your opinion does not matter.
It don't matter that I haven't been to one of their games. I'm just saying, if you got to drive 2 hours up north, first off, they all going to be asleep on the bus.
How far did we drive to Kentucky?
At least 2.5. And our bus was late, so we lose at least three.
The door wouldn't open on the bus.
And did we lose?
We had bus drivers, too.
We them ghetto buses, though. This is Carmel we're talking about. But anyway.
Yeah, that's money up there.
Yeah, they probably got
did we lose?
And,
Greyhound
did
buses.
We lose?
No.
Oh, sushi
exactly.
on the bus.
Well, we almost did,
heated
though.
Seats and television and Xbox.
I don't know who I'm arguing for.
I got Carmel winning, though.
Yeah. I still got Valpo.
Carmel and Warren in state.
I got us.
That's what you got.
Warren, yeah. Valpo.
Well, thank you guys for coming in and sharing some of your opinions about tonight's game and the playoff bracket. That's going to be it here on 91.1
WEDM. And I have, for this Inside the Huddle podcast, I have
Autumn Trehune.
And we're going to talk about wrestling. So it's WrestleMania tonight. How do you feel going in and competing tonight?
Well, I'm not competing, but I'm really excited to watch the boys on my team wrestle.
So, like, what do you think the season's going to be like this year?
Well, it's kind of hard to determine that right now, but I'm pretty positive going into it. I'm pretty confident to see most of our wrestler lineup make it far this year.
So, how is it being one of, like, the top girl wrestlers in the state?
It's pretty cool. I mean, hard work, you know. I like being recognized. I like having, like, younger girls come up to me asking me questions, talking about, like, how I like it and how they can become, like, how good I am. And it really just takes hard work. And
so you enjoy being a role model?
Oh, yeah.
So going into, like, a big match, how do you prepare yourself?
I like to put my headphones in, you know, and get mentally prepared, tell myself, like, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, like, try to, like, tell myself how the match is going to go in my head.
So you envision yourself basically.
Yes.
Doing what needs to be done. So, like, when you go to girls' state, explain to us how girls' state work, because usually the boys' state gets the most attention. Tell us how you feel about the girls' state getting attention this year, you know, you and your sister being in the paper.
Yeah, it was pretty nice getting the recognition that we kind of deserve for, you know, because it is a big deal. State is state. You know, if you win, you win. It's as big of a deal as boys' state. And going for girls' state, you know, how we don't necessarily have a sectionals, but we have a regionals. And you have to place top four in regionals in order to go to state. And then you wrestle off for state and you place, I think, top eight.
So tell us how you got started, like, into wrestling.
So I was in middle school and... Well, I've always known about wrestling because it's been in my family. And I was talking to the gym teacher, and he was like, well, why don't you just come out? So I was like, okay. So I walked into practice not knowing a single thing. It was kind of embarrassing. And from then on, I was like, yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
You just became dominant at the sport?
Yeah, it's my passion.
It's pretty nice. So what is one regret from last season that you hope doesn't go, that doesn't happen this season?
My biggest regret is getting second at state and not winning. So I'm really hoping to go in this year being a state champ.
So tell us, what was really running through your mind as in state. You know, it's big accomplishment. You worked hard to get there. So, like, what was the energy, like, the atmosphere just wrestling on that mat?
Being able to wrestle in the finals was, like, I was so full of, like, many different emotions. I was nervous. I was excited. You know, I had a big support system. I had all the support in the world. I had my coaches in my corner. Like, I was ready. I felt ready, but I think the nerves just kind of, you know, took over more of the excitement, I guess you could say. It's a pretty big deal.
But, you know, like, win or lose, it's just an accomplishment to get the state.
Yeah.
You know, you have, like, a huge target on your back, even though you came up short, but you just know it's going to be a target on your back.
Exactly.
So, you know, your family's known for wrestling. So, like, did your dad, like, introduce you to wrestling? Like, do you and your sisters wrestle around the house?
Oh, yeah, we used to when we were little. We used to wrestle around with, like, everybody, our cousins, our friends, each other. Yeah, my dad wrestled a little bit in high school, but he's mostly into football.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So wrestlers are known for, like, the extreme conditioning. So take us through the steps of the conditioning for this upcoming season, because I know you guys go at it upstairs in the wrestling room.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty hardcore, you know. We do a lot of running, a lot of live, a lot of abs, just like the weightlifting. We basically do it all. We do it all, and we really go through a lot, but it's always worth it once, you know, you're out there on the mat.
And you're only out there on the mat for at least
6 minutes.
Yeah, if you're in a dogfight, but usually if you are up on the opponent, you're usually out there for 2 to 1 minute. And wrestlers really don't get as much acknowledgement for the conditioning they do, usually like football and basketball does. But
definitely,
I feel like wrestling doesn't get enough because it's really crazy up there.
Exactly, we go through a lot.
It's very chaotic up there. You get lost in the sauce. So could you explain to the people, like, how you can win state individually and you can also win for, like, team state?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so each match, you know, you get a certain amount of points, you know, and there's, like, a point system and everything all adds up. And so you can wrestle and you can go all the way up individually as far as you can go. But, like, as a team, like, teams can do it together. So, like, not like a team can win, and then also as individuals you can win state or place.
So does it matter how many individuals from that team is at state counts towards team state?
Yeah, it can count.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, that concludes my Inside the Huddle topic for this week. Catch us next week. We'll have more interesting topics. 91.1 WEDM.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Inside the Huddle. Be sure to tune in next week for more of the same on WEDM FM.com.